Kof Teves, Sunday the 7th of January, Rabbi Bezalel Korn. Freedom of Choice, a lesson from the Parsha. This week's Torahway has been sponsored anonymously, and the Olam would like to wish Mazel Tov wishes to family Chesna on the occasion of the Chasna of Zevi and Leah Turkel.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. And thank you for inviting me once again to share with you some Torah thoughts. I'd like to introduce today's topic of freedom of choice with two important ideas. And I'd like to suggest that perhaps we can scratch the surface of this topic by elucidating a Gemara in the Dorim, Chaf Beis, where the Gemara says, Ilmolei loichotu Yisroel, if Yisroel had not sinned by the Egel, Hayu mekablin chamisha chumash Torah, the Sefer Yoshua Bilvad. They would have received only the Chumash, that is the Sefer Torah that we have in Aron HaKodesh, and Sefer Yoshua. None of the other Sefer Nevi'im would be necessary for us to receive. It would all be inclusive in these two. Now, firstly, of the two important ideas that I want to posit, the first is that as human beings, we are capable of making decisions. We make choices in our lives. And this is clear from a statement in Parshas Nitzavim, towards the end of Parshas Nitzavim, where we're given the option to choose between the path of life and the path leading to oblivion. And the Torah advises us that we choose life. Uvacharto v'chayim. Uvacharto is clearly bechira, it's a choice. And you have to have the ability to make a choice if we're commanded to choose. It's precisely because we are given freedom of choice that we have to inevitably answer for our actions. There will be reward, positive reward for fulfillment of mitzvahs, punishment for transgression of averus. And of course, this is in the Rambam's, the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, the 11th one, which states, Ad imamim b'emunah shulema, shabori yisporach shemoi, goymel toiv l'shoymer mitzvoysov, umanish l'oivre mitzvoysov. Secondly, the idea that our freedom to choose is not in any way affected by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has knowledge of all that will take place. Now, if a Navi Emes were to say that we're going to do something, that a particular thing will happen, a choice will be made, and he's a true Navi of Hashem, then we don't have the choice anymore. Then we must do that. That's exactly what we're going to do. We will do exactly as a Navi said, otherwise he would be a Navi Sheker. The reason which the Rambam, Zichron Livracha, gives in the Mori Nevoichim, in part, that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has yediyah of everything does not affect our freedom of choice, the Rambam says is because just as everything that we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merely for us to comprehend the way human beings comprehend each other, Dibra Torah Kelishoyim Bnei Odom, how else would we be able to speak about anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Torah gives us the ability, and the Torah uses certain terms which make it seem as if there is someone that we're talking about, but in fact we know, Ein lo demusag guf, v'ein lo guf, and so on. So just as when the Torah says, Yad Hashem, or Vayar Elokim, it doesn't mean the way we understand it to mean. Not with our human eyes or our human hands. And therefore, even the knowledge of Hashem is something way beyond our comprehension, totally of another world, if you will. It's something totally, completely different than our own. And that's how the Rambam proceeds to explain it. Of course, the Ravid, Zichron Livracha, who was, according to the Meiri, 20 years older than the Rambam, was very upset about many things the Rambam said and didn't explain properly. And as you see, go through the Arach HaZok, you see how often the Ravid takes liberties and speaks against the Rambam in many ways, but it's only to strengthen the source of Torah, the learning of Torah, the Mesorah, so we don't just take it for granted that somebody says something and it's already the way he said it, no matter who it is. So the Ravid, being older than Rambam, took this liberty, and you find it very often. Here also, with this particular subject, the Ravid said you should not have even brought it to the fore if you weren't going to be able to give a clarity of explanation, of understanding, for people to comprehend. And we don't understand the answer the Rambam gave. He merely tells us that you have Emunah, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and you know that he's totally nothing like we understand, so the idea is also different. He knows, and yet it doesn't affect our choice. We'll leave it at that for the time for today. Now, with this understanding, with this information, we'll be able to try to study some of the events in the Parsha, in the Parshios, I should say, of Shemois, Vo'era, and Boy, and so on, where the Torah tells us about Bechira. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, in Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, and I'll quote for you the words of the Rambam. He says, V'efshar sheyechta adam chet gadol, person going through life. Of course, all the main tzaddik boris hashiyas atov aleichto. People will. We do continuously commit averos. But what we do is tshuva. We repent. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wipe out the averos. So the Rambam says that a person may come to the point where he continues to do averos, so many that it's come to the time where he has to give the din before dying no emes. And the Rabbeinu Shlalom says, that's it, you've reached your limit. Your cup is full, you can't do, I won't let you do any more. Now you have to answer for all that you've done. And what's the reason for that? Kidei sheyamus v'yovad b'cheto sheyaseh. So the person's just desert is that he will die from the sin and he'll get his Gehenna when he goes to the next world. And the Kodesh Baruch would not let him do tshuva at this point because of the amount of averos. Everybody still knows what that amount is, what the limitation is. But understand this, that at some point we no longer will be able to do tshuva. It can come to that point. Rambam continues, Leficha kosuv b'Torah, in the parsha that we're learning, V'ania chazek es leif paro. So you see that the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I'm going to make him stubborn. I'll stop him, and he will not be able anymore at some point to recant and to say, okay, I'm sorry, let them go. All right, I was wrong, you are right, and so on. Hashem says, I'm going to stop him from doing that. Levishechoto me'atzmo tchila. He, in fact, sinned on his own. He premeditated the averos that he did against Klal Yisroel. Didn't he say, Havon ischak malo? That's premeditated murder, premeditated horrendous acts that he performed against Klal Yisroel. He decided at the beginning, he wants to do this. That's his avera. And he continues and he persists until the point where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's it. And Yachazek is laid paro. I'm stopping him from repenting and from doing tshuva. Leficha chizak HaKadosh Baruch Hu as libo. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened, hardened Paro's heart. Now, you wonder if that's the case, why did the Rabbeinu Shalom send Moshe Rabbeinu and continuously ask Paro to let Bnei Yisrael go? Why did he send them out to do it? If he knows and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to let you go. And yet, your job is go ahead and say, no, letting my people go or not? What's going to happen? Something is fishy over here. V'atov avodecho yodati, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, or actually Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this to Paro, ki terem tirun es Hashem Elokim. I know you won't be able to give up. You won't be able to relent. And yet I have to tell you this. V'ulam b'avruzoyishem areticho kedei lehodia leboi olam. Over here there's a special reason. The Rebbeinu Shlom now wants to use this as a great lesson for the world, to notify everyone that this is what can happen. You come to a particular point in life or it's too late. So don't let it ever get to that point. Shemizman shemonei HaKadosh Baruch Hu atshuva lachote eino yochol lashuv elo yomus berisho she'osa b'tchila b'rtzono. And this is clear. In studying this Rambam, the Beis Halevi Zichron Levrocha, he finds interesting understanding from the Rambam. The Beis Halevi says, it seems from the words of the Rambam, that in the first five makos at least, till Borod at least, the six, in those first makos, Paro still had the ability to actually do tshuva. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro the first and the second and the third and the fourth time, each time Paro could have said, okay, I give up, I'll let them go. That would have been the end of it. It's only after the Makkah of Borod, when that arrived, when Borod came, that he lost the ability to do tshuva. So the Beis Halevi says, Paro had not yet gotten to the point of a lack of bechira, of the removal of his bechira. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the parsha of Shemois, Va'ani yodati, but I know he won't let you go, that did not affect Paro's ability to do tshuva, because it was yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said at the outset, and that yediyah has no effect on the decision and the choice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for people to make. It's yediyah which is beyond our understanding. In the parsha of Borod, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, in the parsha when we get to Borod, in parsha Vo'era, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, Vato v'avodecho, he's speaking directly to Paro, you and your slaves, yodati, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi of Hashem, is speaking. He says, I know. Now we're talking about something entirely different. We're not talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe, yodati, I know. That's your Ribbono Shel Olam's idea. We're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi of Hashem, says, V'avodeh v'avodecho yodati, ki kerem tiru m'pnei Hashem Elokim. Oh, now at this point already, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking because Moshe Rabbeinu knows that from this point on in Vo'era, in part from the Borod, from then on, he has no choice. Paro will not be able to choose any difference. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is able to say it as the Navi of Hashem, and it's true, there will be no more choices for Paro. Now, the Beis Halevi tells us the following. He says, if you look at Rashi, you now understand why by the Makas Borod, Rashi tells us something very strange. Rashi says, Mikan Shemakas Bechoirois Shkula Keneged Kol Hamakos. That's very strange. We're talking about Makas Borod, Hosbrengst Darai Makas Bechoirois, which is only a few Makas later. But it's clear now, the Beis Halevi says. Rashi, as everybody else should understand, from this point on, it's going to come to Makas Bechoirois. There's nothing you can do about it. There's going to be Arba, and there's going to be Choshech, and there's going to be Bechoirois, because you've already passed that line. You've already reached the point of no return. You can no longer do tshuva. Now, after all this, the Rambam adds as follows. Uchinyan azeh. Shoalim ha-tzadikim v'hanevi'im b'tzfilosom me'es Hashem le'ovram al derech ho'emes. Everybody, every tzaddik, everyone who wishes to be like a tzaddik, who follows the path of righteousness, in your tfilos, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please keep me on the path of truth. Let me never stray from the truth. What we're actually asking is what David HaMelech Olav HaShalom says in Tehillim, in Kapitel Pei Vov, when he says, Horeini Hashem darkecho, ahalech ba'amitecho. What does he say? David HaMelech is asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not ever take away from him the opportunity and the ability to do tshuva. Keep me thinking correctly. Don't ever take away from me that clarity of thinking, that understanding, so that I can make a good choice at all times. If you look for a moment at Paro and how he didn't understand and wasn't able to comply with the direction of letting Klal Yisrael go once he lost the Bechira, I once had the good fortune of being in Neri Yisrael in 1968. I learned there for a year. I went to the shir of Rav Kolevsky, Zichron Livracho. Rav Kolevsky, who became the Rosh Yeshiva in Neri Yisrael afterwards. And I asked the Rav, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Paro so stubborn? What did he do to affect that? And Rav Kolevsky, Zichron Livracho, told me, it's HaZohar HaKadosh, he says. And he quoted for me HaZohar HaKadosh, and the Zohar says, Do Mila Hichpid Libe. I didn't understand. So he explained more to me. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro by telling him that you want to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're asking me, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma, who is Hashem that I should listen to him, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't use the name Elohim, which would sound appropriate when we're talking about judgment. He uses the name Havaya, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a name of Rachamim. Yudke Vovke. And the Zohar HaKadosh is telling us, this word, Hashem, the Milo, the name of Rachamim, is what confounded him. Paro couldn't comprehend. It made no logical sense. You are the God of mercy? Look at this, for 200 years, your favorite people, your children, are here, my slaves, and you know what I've done to them, what I'm doing to them. It's horrendous. I'm putting them, the children, into the wall like bricks. I'm doing all kinds, all manner of horrendous acts that I'm performing against them. You're a God of mercy? And because Paro could not comprehend that with his mind, therefore, he became stubborn. He kept on refusing to allow the Bnei Yisrael to leave. That's how the Zohar, how we understood the Zohar HaKadosh. Keeping that in mind, David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give me the clarity of thought. In my mind I should be able to see and understand. I should never have that cloud which is going to block my clear vision. Because that's what will prevent me from doing tshuva. And every tzaddik asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the same thing. The Gemara in Menachos, that Pehei, tells us a very unusual little discourse, or rather a conversation in Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, Amri le Yochno Mamre le Moshe. Yochno and Mamre were two of the Chartumim, two of the great magicians of Egypt. And you know, Egypt was steeped in magic. I use the term magic, we're talking about all manner of sorcery. And at that time, it was Egypt was the center. And Yochno and Mamre, they say to Moshe, in these words, Teven atomachnis laforayim? Ha! They're making fun of him. What are you doing? You got a stick over there, you're making it into a serpent? Watch this. And they're going to do the same thing. You're bringing magic over here? Ah, you came to the wrong place to show us, to teach us magic. That's what they're saying. They're mocking him. You're bringing straw into a place which is loaded with straw? And Moshe Rabbeinu responds very interestingly. Omar Luhu, Amri Inshi, Lemoso Yarko, Yarko Shkoil. Quite the contrary, he tells them. People say that if you see there's a big marketplace of vegetables, they're selling vegetables, that's where people come down to buy their vegetables, bring yours also, and you'll be able to make a good deal. They'll probably run out because so many people come to buy vegetables, you'll be able to sell your vegetables. It's a good place to bring your vegetables. What's really the conversation over here? Rashi tells us that they're playing games with him. They're giving him some kind of a mockery as a statement that they're telling him, oh, they say you're worthless. Look at you, you're coming with it. You made a snake. We're making a snake also. Whatever you do, we can do it better. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, not so fast. Let's see what Moshe Rabbeinu really answered them here. Rav Simcha Zissel, Zichron Livracha, from Kelm. He said, anything that you explain to a person who wants to understand will be helpful, and it'll help him to get where he's going. That's if he wants to, if he has a rutzon to know the truth. But if the opposite is true, he doesn't want to know the truth, then no matter what you do, you can place it right in front of him in a huge form, and it'll be right in front of his face. He will not recognize it, and he won't accept it, because he doesn't want the truth. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zichrono Livracha once explained, by the Maka of Dam, the Rabbanu Shalom said, Bezois Teida, with this you will know. If the Rabbanu Shalom said, Bezois Teida, so why didn't he know? The answer is, he did know. But the distance from knowing to comprehending and to making it a reality in your system, in your mind, is a lot greater of a distance than the distance from not knowing to knowing something. Knowledge alone won't do it. Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom asks for a lev havin. Why does he use the term lev? Lev can be used synonymously with the mind as well as the heart. Because according to Rabbi Chanan Zechatzadeh Kodesh Livracha, in the Kavis Ma'amorim, you know, he has a whole mimer about how the mind and the heart are connected, why the Torah tells us, it's a whole shiur. Well, Shlomo HaMelech uses the term lev because he wants to digest the knowledge to make it a part of his understanding, and he'll have that clarity of thought. Pasuk in Iyov, in Perek Chav Ches, Vayomer lo Odom, Hein Yiras Hashem hi Chochma, Sur Meira hi Bina. I believe I have the correct words. What is it? Chochma is one thing. Bina is something completely different. Or at least it's much more than just Chochma. So when Rabbi Shalom says, Bezois Teida, certainly, he knew, he had it in his head. But it didn't do anything for him. Because he did not internalize it. Velo Shos Liboy Gam Lezois. Not below Shos Moichoi, because he didn't make it a part of who he is to actually, because he didn't want to. He wasn't interested. What does the Torah tell us about living the life of a Torah Yid? V'yodato hayoim, you have to have the idea, v'hashivoysa el levovecha. Don't leave it at the idea alone. Make it a part of you, v'hashivoysa el levovecha. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is actually responding to Yochna and Mamre, the Chartumei Mitzrayim. He says, I'm coming with a mate. Picture what's going on, he says. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to make an illusion that your matos also are serpents? What happens next? Aaron's mate, or rather serpent, now that it's become a serpent, swallows up all of your sticks. Doesn't it get you to face reality? Don't you at that point already concede there's no more magic going on over here? You're talking about mocking me about bringing magic to a place that's full of magic. Don't you see it's no longer magic? Your sticks are gone. Your illusion is no longer there. That should tell you. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to them. It's a serious response to the mockery that they started with. And so Paro also. And that's why in the Parshas Bo, by the way, that's why you see that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to use the term Bachatzoy Salailo by Bakas Bechoyros. The Gemara in Brochus. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know when Chatzois was precisely? Of course he knew, the Gemara says. But because he knew that the Chartumei Mitzrayim would certainly make an error a few seconds perhaps before or after midnight according to their calculation, and then they would turn and they would say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong, and therefore we're not going to listen to you. Does it make any sense? None at all. The whole street, all of Mitzrayim is strewn with dead Bechorim. Do you need more? Oh, no. Moshe Rabbeinu said midnight, ha-ha, we got him. It's only 2 minutes before midnight. Makes no sense. They're all lying dead in front of you. Doesn't that tell you the whole story? But they don't want to accept it. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu refused to say Bachatzos. He didn't want them to even have that excuse in not obeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that everybody will know what's happening here to Paro and to Mitzrayim, and the Yad Hashem is upon them. Now this is also because I know that the time is short. We only have a few minutes, and I would hope we would. This topic really takes a lot longer, and we're just barely scratching the surface. So I'm going to skip to a little bit more of an explanation. And I'm going to skip a bit of it, and I hope we'll be able to catch up one day. To understand it better, look into the Shemoneh Esrei, if you will, and notice that of all the 12 brachos, the bakoshos that we have, you know that you start a bakosha right away. You say, Rabbeinu Shalom, please, I need refuah. Please, Rabbeinu Shalom, I need parnosa. Rifo'enu, Borech Oleinu, Vili Rishlaim, Yircho, everyone. But there's one where we don't start with the bakosha. Why not? The Kotzke Rebbe Zechon Lebrach asked. Choneinu Mayit Chodea, we should have started Choneinu, just like we start Rifo'enu. Why didn't we start that? Precisely because of what we're saying. Because you have to have first the understanding that knowledge, true knowledge, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without that, you will not see clearly. You'll see with the glasses that are smudged with, I don't know if you remember that old story about the buttermilk. They kept asking Shiloh, said, what's the story on this? Is this kosher? Oh, he goes, buttermilk and buttermilk and buttermilk. The fact is, at the end, that he had buttermilk smudges on his glasses that he wasn't aware of. He just saw buttermilk wherever he went. You see whatever it is that your mind fools you into seeing. But you don't really see the reality until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you. What about Achi Yosef? Same example. They're standing in front of their young brother Yosef. They knew him for the 17 years that he grew up with them. And they're standing in front of them. How much different was he now? And they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him. And that's why they were so shocked when HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden took away that veil. And they could understand and see, oh, this is Yosef Taka over here in Mitzrayim. And that's what happened over here. But I do want to explain something more to you. I want you to understand that it's not just Paro and anyone who reaches that point where the cup is full that loses his Bechira. It's possible also to lose Bechira for a different reason, a positive reason. And that's something that most people don't understand. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, at some point in the last 40 years of his life, did not have Bechira, the Meshech Chachma tells us. He no longer had Bechira. You know why? Because the Ribbono Shel said to him, V'gam Becho Yaminu Le'olam. Those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that they will believe in you eternally. And what if one day, after a few years later, Moshe Rabbeinu all decides, you know what, I think I'll do a little bit different. You don't know, he's a human being, so you would do differently. Ribbono Shel says, I can't allow it to happen. Everything that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu is perfect. It's the Torah. And so you cannot make any error. I cannot allow for any human frailty to be involved over here. So at that point, when Hashem said, B'cho ya'aminu le'olam, the Rabbi Hashem removed the Bechira from Moshe Rabbeinu because he already reached that high madrega of perfection. Hashem said, now you're going to stay. Mi'al b'har Hashem is one thing. U'mi'yakum b'mkoyim kodshoy. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Neki Chapayim of Bar Levov. He didn't swear use Hashem's name falsely when he killed the Mitzri and Mitzrayim. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one that goes up on Har Hashem, but he's the one who also maintains that status of greatness. Why? Because at that point, 40 years, Hashem removed it. There's one more individual. I know I'm cutting it all very short, but I'm sorry the time is just 1.5 hour. Who else? Another example, Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo yisyatze ish lefanecha kol yemei chayecha. You will be the repositor of Torah. The buck will stop with you. Anything and everything that comes from you is Torah. And you see, Taka is a machlokes in the Gemara and Soita, as to what is the connection, where is Yehoshua connected with the Chumash? According to some, it's connected with the Parsha of Orei Miklat, because there are some chidushim in Perek Chof and Sefer Yehoshua about Ori Miklat that we didn't learn and understand from the Torah. And according to others, it is a connection to the last 8 psukim of the Torah. But there is a clear connection. And you see that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, many of the great Nisim, were so similar. Just like Yeshua made the sun stand still, time stood still for Yeshua. This Ben Adam was able to rule over the Galgal, Achama. Why? Because he was so great. Well, maybe one day he would change his ways. Maybe he'll have the Bechira to do differently. Hashem took away for 28 years the Bechira of Yeshua. And similar with Moshe Rabbeinu. He also made the sun stand still. He also split the Yam Suf and so on and so forth. So there's so many similarities. And that's why the Gemara said at the beginning when we spoke about it that the only thing that would be necessary would have been, if not for the Chet of the Egel, would have been the Chumash, which is from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Sefer Yehoshua, because they are very strongly connected. And everything else is within those words of these Sforim. So the whole Torah, the Torah HaKadosh is there. And just so we know that our job is to continuously daven on a daily basis, that we maintain that understanding of clarity, that Rebbe Hashem never allows us to lose it, so that we will always be able to do tshuva, because we need to constantly do tshuva. So it may be Hashem's will that we should be able to fulfill all the mitzvos that we are given in the Torah. We will be able to reach the height of our own abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and we'll be able to do tshuva on a regular basis, and be zoicha to be as goyel tzedek b'meher v'yomeinu.